Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer is our real horror show.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Anthony Burgess's A Clockwork Orange. Speaking of orange, let's open one of our many beers today.
Yeah, lots of beers to try.
We have at least one beer for every drink. I'm gonna start with this one. This is from Blue Point Brewing Company. It is called Citrus Plunge IPA. Guess what it's brewed with?
I have no idea.
Clementines.
Damn close. This is brewed with orange and honey. Take a sippy of this. Oh, that's a voracious pour. That's not good.
It's voracious.
That's probably the right word. I've been drinking. Citrus Plunge IPA. Blue Point is in Patchogue, New York, or Peshaguay if you're retarded. And
I actually had a friend who called it Pachogi once.
I once gave a girl a Pachogi. It was not cool.
It's like a big sandwich.
Never heard from her again. But it's a 6.5. It's a 6.5% alcohol beer. As I already said, it's an IPA. It comes in this nice 1-pint can. This is very fresh. Can just a couple weeks ago.
It smells like an IPA.
I get a lot of fruit smell.
I do too, yeah.
Oh my god.
It has been established that Jimmy is not a fan of IPAs.
Yes, as he has informed us.
It's also because Jimmy's missing something internally, but we can only pray for science to come up with a solution.
That's bitter as fuck.
Really disagree, man. It's bitter, yeah. But in terms of IPAs, this is pretty middle of the road.
Yeah.
I think the orange is a nice flavor. Yeah. It's nice. It's a nice. But I'm not trying to say it's a middle of the road IPA in terms of quality, but in terms of bitterness. There's nothing. This is not extremely bitter or extremely mild. You just suck, man.
I'm okay with that. I'm all right. I've accepted this.
And I feel like the IPA flavor and the citrus flavor complement each other well, since so many hop varieties have a citrus sort of astringency or whatever the fuck the word is that really fucking hit you in the palate. And they work together nicely in concert. That's a nice beer. I've never had it before, and I've had a lot of Blue Point. I mean, it's not far from here. It's long. Right over in, man, I guess that's Suffolk County, Peshaw. It's got to be Suffolk.
Yeah, it's not far.
It's not far at all. But we get that pretty easily out here in Queens.
Queens!
All right, so Clockwork Orange. Clearly the orange has inspired at least one of our beer selections for today.
I think more than one.
You'll have to listen more to find out exactly how many. As many as your mind can imagine right now.
Yeah, for sure.
At least 7.
We have 5 beers today.
All right. So,
what's the plot of the book?
Oh, well, okay. There's like the short version and the long version. The short version is Alex is a jerk. He goes to prison. They try and fuck with his mind. And then it like sort of works, but then sort of doesn't. And he goes back to the way he was. That's the short version.
A wonderful parable for the American justice system.
Yeah.
Well. Except this was written by a British author in 1962 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly more extended and expanded version of that plot. Alex is a thug rapist murderer.
A 15-year-old thug rapist murderer.
So definitely a jerk. In some dystopian kind of
futuristic
future,
London.
Hanging out with his buds and
the
Drugs. And they go around wreaking havoc until he gets caught for, due to a power struggle within the group that he gets kind of stuck with the crime.
He gets busted for murder.
Yeah, murdering an old bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to jail, serves a few years, and gets selected for this experimental technique, the Ludovico technique, where they try to cure him through the science of
Pavlovian nausea murder.
It's actually more
Skinner. Yeah.
It's operant conditioning, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are science words.
That's like when the mouse pushes the thing and it gets a shock or it doesn't get a shock kind of thing.
Yeah.
You take Psych 101, man? Come on.
No, I went to music school.
Well, that's why you're on a podcast now.
Yeah.
So, so he gets conditioned to feel unwell around any of the
violence.
The good old stuff.
The stimulations of violence and rape and all that kind of shit. And then more stuff happens. Well, before we get to the end of the book, this is a famous book.
Yeah, this is a very famous book. More because of the movie than because of the book.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The movie is, I remember being a little kid way before I was allowed to watch R-rated movies, and my mom mentioned this movie somehow. Not because she was like, just wait till you see it, but talking to me, like, I forget the context of the story, but it's like, I remember being a teenager in the 70s, and we watched this movie, and we didn't realize what it was. And it was like, oh, that was not good. We didn't like that movie. I was like, well, I need to see that film, Mom. Thanks a lot. You could tuck me in now, but I will be watching that soon. And years later, I saw it, and I actually really liked it. And Nate and I watched it together recently. We had extremely adverse responses to the film.
It is one of the worst movies. It's so fucking bad. It looks like it's like a high school film with a suspiciously large budget. That's A Clockwork Orange.
Those onesies cost a lot of money.
Man, you guys are harsh. What do you think, Jimmy?
I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was that great either.
I'm not saying it's like the Citizen Kane of its time.
I also didn't think Citizen Kane was that great either, though.
Well, that's why you're on a podcast. I thought it was fine. I mean, I liked it a lot when I was a high school student when I first saw it, because it was so anti everything you're supposed to like.
I mean, I love Malcolm McDowell mostly.
My mind was fucking blown when I realized that was that guy.
Yeah. I mean, we've only ever seen him as a really old dude.
Yeah, with like short, spiky gray hair yelling at people.
This is like where he got his shit done.
And I realized that I saw
he has
most
the same
of his
exact
dick.
Face.
Yeah, it's on that guy's dick.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah. It's a great dick.
It vidied well?
It vidied real well.
I thought the movie's interesting. I think there's really cool cinematographic. Oh man, we were talking about that fucking word, trying to prepare to say it.
Cinematographic.
Movie type stuff happens.
Camera picture.
I mean, I think there's some really great shots in the film. At the very least, the movie is long. It is too long today.
Like most Stanley Kubrick movies.
Definitely. Like most auteurs.
It's directorial indulgence.
Absolutely. Well, have you watched a fucking Quentin Tarantino movie?
Those are all mostly bad.
I think all those movies are like, man, that scene is great. That scene is great. This scene is awesome. And then you're like, wait a second, that was 3 hours.
Yeah.
I feel like it shouldn't have been 3 hours. I feel like that about a lot of Kubrick, too. You know, like, there's cool shit happening.
He's got a very identifiable style. Maybe he doesn't need to do it all.
Right. Well, Kubrick has an identifiable style because virtually every one of his movies is an iconic thing. He made like 15 movies or something. It's like not a big amount for a guy that, you know,
spent
40 years making movies.
He had a very good work to impact ratio.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the movies are super famous. Like, he did Spartacus. He directed that.
I never saw that one.
It's even longer than A Clockwork Orange. He did The Shining. He did Full Metal Jacket. He did 2001: A Space Odyssey. Dr. Strangelove. Lolita, Eyes Wide Shut, Barry Lyndon, not very famous, but a really good film.
And Paths of Glory?
Paths of Glory is like, the who? And then The Killing or something. He has like a couple of the shit movies in the early 50s. That's not even 15 titles, and I'm pretty sure that's all of them.
It's the hits.
I mean, that's really it.
And the others.
It's what he did. He did not do a lot of movies. So he spent a lot of time, he was involved in the films from, you know, A to Z in terms of virtually every one of his movies was adapted from something, from a short story or a novel. He was involved in that, picking the novel, adapting it, personally in many cases, writing the screenplay, directing it, editing it. Like, he was really involved in creating these products. So Clockwork Orange is really associated with him more so than it is with Anthony Burgess, who is frankly a literary one-hit wonder.
I've never heard another one of his books.
Ever. I have read 5 of his books.
I couldn't tell you a second title.
I could, but I have to think really hard.
You could make up anything and I would believe you.
A Clockwork Yellow was like, whoa, that was crazy. Whoa, who saw that coming? Pissing in your face. And then, what else did he have? No, I've read a few of his books. We can talk about his style because I think as the only person here who's read more than one of his books, I have slightly more insight into his style, and I think there's something interesting about it.
You know what'll help, though?
Exactly. You read my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one, Nate.
All right, let's do, you know what, let's do this one, because I think it'll go with what we can talk about next.
Yeah, sure.
So I picked this one. This is an IPA called Antihero by Revolution Brewing. Yeah, it's an IPA.
It is 6.7% alcohol. It's brewed in Chicago. That's my little Nicky voice. And, oh no, I spilled. Fuck. That happens to lots of guys.
That was the worst.
What was the worst, my little Nicky voice or my pour?
Both. 100%.
All right, let's hear your little Mickey voice.
He talks kind of like this.
No, you sound like the Hunchback of Notre Dame right now. Chicago. Dude, Chicago kicks ass. Anyway, so, the IPA, Jimmy's going to hate it because Jimmy blows.
It's not the worst.
It's not that strong of an IPA, but I like it. I think it's good.
It's a pretty solid IPA. It's not You know, I feel like I say that like every 2.5 episodes. Yeah. It is not
overwhelming.
It's not distinct. There's nothing where like, holy shit, that is the hoppiest thing I've ever had, or that is the strong. It's like a great IPA. That's really what it is. It's a fine IPA. It gets the job of an IPA done, which is to, I guess, get you a little drunk and make you have feel like you took a hop money shot. Like that's what IPAs do, right?
So I think this is so. Antihero is a really good beer for this book because the character of Alex is just so terrible, so awful in basically every single way. Who, you know, at the beginning, you know, rapes and murders, and then goes through this whole, like, basically pretends to want to get better, and then goes through this whole Ludovico technique thing to try to get to you know, let him, to get the authorities to let him out of prison, and then he basically, like, overcomes his, like, you know, programming, and then goes back to being almost the same way at the end, and he's just, like, awful the whole way through. He's just terrible and awful, and he is, like, the anti-hero.
Right, because he's the main character of the book, so we have to call him the protagonist, mm-hmm. but he's certainly not the hero.
No.
He's unsympathetic in virtually every way.
He's just all bad. You know, and unlike those other characters you would call an anti-hero, like Walter White from Breaking Bad, where you totally root for Walter White the whole time. Even though he's doing all these terrible things, but you totally, like, root for him because there's at least something about him that you can relate to. Whereas in Alex in Clockwork Orange, you don't relate to him. He's just all bad.
I don't know about that. I think that depends on when you read this book.
Okay.
I mean, was there a point at which you were a sociopath? Or was it when you're growing up?
No. And I was never a sociopath. However, that you know of. But I read it for the first time as a high school student, which is very different than how I felt about it as an adult reading it. Adult in the, and it's so shocking to me that, like, being in your later 20s when you do something like that's grown up times, because I certainly didn't feel like a grown up then, but I guess I had to have been.
Yeah.
But reading it at, like, 17, I was like, oh, this guy's just like an outsider. He sucks. He definitely sucks. He's a bad guy. But his world is fucked up, and it's all coming down on him. And it's the man.
Is the world fucked up?
Well, I'm not saying the world is fucked up. I'm saying, like, when you read this book as a younger student...
Is his world fucked up?
It is fucked up.
Is it?
He lives in this, like, slummy, shitty part of London.
He lives in basically the projects.
Yeah.
But, like, is the world... They don't really go into how the world is so much.
No. You know, when it's portrayed in the film, it actually everything actually looks pretty nice. They try and make it look a little bit trashy, but no, he really looks like, to me, it looked like a more or less middle class.
It was a nice project.
Middle class family that he's from.
Oh, if you're talking about looking nice in the movie, remember the lobby in his apartment where there's just dicks drawn everywhere?
It's a lot of dicks. Right. It's a lot of dicks.
And it was a
because he drew them.
In the movie, that's not clear. In the movie, there's just like he's walking around.
By implication.
How dare you, sir? Just because you see a young man and you see dicks and you say he must have drawn those dicks.
Those dicks could have come from anywhere.
Just because you see a young rapist walking amongst
dicks. He might have done a lot of raping and murdering, but he might not have drawn those dicks.
Don't blame him for that.
My client might not be artistically capable to draw dicks all over this fresco.
Caravaggio drew dicks. Was he a criminal?
I rest my case.
Science.
Could have been painting the Bona Lisa. Sorry, Boner Lisa.
Famous art.
Art penis puns. So I'm thinking the right now.
I don't know any art.
Dicasso.
I was thinking Boniker, but I was trying to like Guernica. Like, I said it wrong.
It doesn't really
work. The boning of Guernica.
There you go. The boning of Guernica. This is from Picasso's Blue Balls period. By Menbrandt. All right. So Alex might be an anti. He's certainly the anti-hero, and that's kind of the whole point of the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be sympathetic to him, I don't think.
No.
I think part of this, you have to like look at it historically. This book came out like 1962 or something like that. Mid to late 50s in Britain, which is where Burgess was from, there was this angry young man genre of literature, of film, of drama. And I feel like Clockwork Orange is probably just the logical extension of that. You know, the idea of like the young the young man who is disconnected from his world, and Burgess just kind of like took that to some extreme.
He's like the proto young adult novel.
Well, now yeah, that's could be. Oh, Nate disagrees.
With a lot no. angstier okay. angst. There's no werewolves or vampires or so shit, but like youthful.
No, actually, I think we should talk about what the term Clockwork Orange really means in the book. Because that gets at, I think, what your point about what Burgess was trying to say.
I've read that Burgess said things in various interviews throughout his life, because he's been dead like 20-something years now, but what that term actually means, or where he got that idea from, or whatever, and what exactly does it say in the book? Because now I'm confused.
So, all right. So, Alex and the Droogs, they, like, break into this house with the writer.
Oh,
the writer
yeah,
and his
yeah.
wife.
They oh, that's the novel he's writing.
Yeah, they break into this house, and the writer, he's writing a novel. And the title of the novel within the novel, is A Clockwork Orange.
We're doing that again?
Yeah, it is, definitely, for sure. It's definitely the book within a book. And so, the novel within the novel is called A Clockwork Orange, and is talking about how taking something that's natural and turning it into a machine. Turning it into something that's mechanical.
Right.
That's the clockwork part of the orange. And sort of the overall point of calling it of the clockwork orange is trying to turn nature into a machine, or using sort of, I mean, I guess that's the point, trying to turn something that's natural into something, using,
science.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Using science
how to, like,
and modern technology.
Bully something natural, like, essentially it's like very high-end domestication.
Like constrain or like, close in something that is more wild and more free and more into using it into basically something like a box or a machine or
so it's like wearing pants.
Yes. Wearing pants.
Because it's our nature to free ball.
Science wise.
So anyway, Alex
dismissed.
Whereas Alex represents the sort of represents nature, like almost like the Hobbesian like state of nature, you know, with everything.
Nasty, brutish, and short.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything just like completely, you know, no rules.
Still is, man. Still is.
With like no rules, like no like anything. So everything is completely awful. Whereas when he's put into prison and they put him through the Ludovico technique. Where this trying to impose like the rules of science onto him and trying to use science to impose control onto him, his sort of animal nature, and how that kind of works, but then it also doesn't work. And so this is, you know, as an artifact, the Clockwork Orange, the book, the real book, the one that we read about A Clockwork Orange, it, you know, coming from the 60s. The 60s, you know, being sort of about the younger generation wanting to be more free and less control and less under the thumb of the of having to have less control or less be under less control than older people.
Hippies.
Than the hippies. Yeah, exactly. They wanted to be more free, but they felt constrained by society. And so I just made a really roundabout way of saying the sort of clockwork part of the orange is science trying to control Alex, but it not working.
That all makes sense. I think Burgess was probably aware of these things and commenting on it. Though if you hear him talk about the book or read him talk about the book, Burgess makes it sound like he just kind of like rambled this off in a couple of days.
It does kind of sound like that when you read it.
When you read the book itself, or
yeah,
you talk
book. About it? When you read the book.
Well, he claims to have written the book in 3 weeks. It's a shortish book, 200 pages or something like that.
It's not unbelievable.
But that's pretty frenetic pace to churn out a book of iconic, long-lasting, I mean, half a century ago
well,
kind
I mean,
of fame.
Just
unique,
it ended
with
up,
very
it ended up
language.
Iconic by chance.
Well, he made up this whole crazy language thing, and the plot is unique.
I mean, I guess. I mean, the language is just Russian words anglicized in spelling, which is not crazy. It's just that maybe he knew a few Russian words. Cool. And the plot is basically crazy dude does a bunch of fucked up stuff. He gets, you know, conditionally cured, and then he gets worse again. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that he knocked it out in 3 weeks. 3 weeks is a pretty long time.
Oh, if that's what you do, sure. That's still pretty disciplined. I will say, from having read a bunch of Burgess's books, he's really clever. He really was a smart fucking guy, like a really widely read and knowledgeable dude in things like he was a composer. Like he wrote for like fucking operas. Like he wrote an opera based on Ulysses. Like he and translated it then into Italian. Like he was also a linguist, and then he also understood like Malaysian. Like he was a really
kind of,
weirdly
I mean, I
smart
the linguist
guy.
Part.
So What I'm trying to say is that he had a lot of gears turning at one time, and his books, the ones I've read, and he wrote like 40 fucking books.
40?
He did One Hit Wonder, but he wrote damn near 40 books. They're all similar to this in that they have a lot of disparate things happening. You're like, oh, the Clockwork Orange has the future dystopian thing happening, it's got the language thing happening, it's got the classical music thing happening, and then it's woven all together with the psychology shit, and you get your book. He was really good at doing that. Just the formula didn't always end up to be better than the original. You know, it wasn't always transcendent where you took all those ingredients and you made something great. Sometimes you just put all those ingredients and you're like, this is just a bunch of ingredients. So of the books of his I've read, this is definitely the best one as far as I feel. Maybe it's just because I'm influenced by, you know, hype or whatever, but it just feels the most cohesive and it feels like all the weird things that are happening work towards a purpose. Whereas the other books feel like academic showing off, you know? I don't know. Let's have another fucking beer.
Yeah.
Pick one.
That one.
Nate?
All right, I also brought this one. This is by Dogfish Head, and this is called Flesh and Blood IPA.
And Flesh and Blood IPA is an India Pale Ale, of course. That's 7.5% alcohol. It has shit in it, but I'm looking. Oh, yeah. Brewed with orange peel, lemon flesh, blood orange juice. So you can imagine why we picked it. Jimmy, you want some more IPAs?
I love it.
I went to Delaware months ago now. Like months before Matt Lauer got busted. And they...
All things are post and pre-Matt Lauer.
I went to Rehoboth Beach, which is where the Dogfish Head Brewery is. And I made my poor wife go there. And she was just like, oh, all right, we'll go there, sure. And then we called an Uber. And the Uber driver took us there. And he was like a super nice guy because he's not from New York and he's a cab driver.
Hadn't even heard of Matt Lauer yet.
But he... Yeah, oh, you're going to the Dogfish Head Brewery? That's great. I go there all the time. I love their Flesh and Bone IPA. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's not what that's... No, okay.
Close enough.
So. And you're like, you're driving... It's like, you have my life in your hands right now. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. And he kept saying it. Yeah, Flesh and Bone IPA, it's really great. It's got, like, fruit in it and stuff. Have that all the time.
Like,
it's really... You guys are going to like it.
The beer itself, that's not the saying, dude.
Yeah, it was weird. Flesh and Bone... It's creepy. It's like a really, really obscure type of porn. It's flesh
German.
And bone porn.
It's German.
It's like
it's in the basement of a club.
It's like where you dress up as Cthulhu and you take a dump on someone else and you like drive them mad with your feces.
Yeah.
We've seen that, right? I'm not the only one who's seen that. That's yeah, not, yeah, I mean, I didn't imagine that.
That's pretty straightforward, yeah.
The balls of Cthulhu, you know that one? You call it Cthulhu?
Fiscally responsible Cthulhu.
Anyway, it's got a bunch of fucking citrus things.
It's not the worst.
Orange peel, blood orange juice, lemon flesh. What do you think?
It's good.
Do you get those flavors?
A tiny hint of them.
I definitely get more than just like an IPA. It's a little more different.
I could definitely sense that there's a fruit flavor in this. But if someone was like, hey, what do you taste? Like, oh, it tastes a little different. I would never be able to tell you, oh, that's...
The flesh of orange.
Blood orange? What the fuck is a blood orange?
I think it's just a orange at a certain time.
it's when its Aunt Flo comes to town.
The seasonal orange.
It's got feminine ways. It has four lips and bleeds for 7 days. So saith the bard, 50 Cent.
Did 50 Cent say that?
Yeah. I heard you's a bitch. You got feminine ways. Something like that.
I fully believe it.
We all know my whiteness, so I can be bold in rising that. But... I could sense legit citrus fruit flavors. Lemon flesh versus orange peel versus blood orange juice. I fucking couldn't tell you which one's which. But you could tell them. You could tell they're in there. And that's a nice compliment for an IPA. Mm-hmm. Yet the citrus flavor is a really common American hop flavor. Now, you notice that. And it also is well hopped. So.
What does that mean?
It's just a shit ton of hops. More hops than normal. And Dogfish Head has a ton of hops in their beers. They make largely IPAs. And they probably make 7 or 8 different IPAs every year. For a relatively small brewery, that's a shit ton of beers that are just IPAs that get wide distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So they hop the dick out of stuff.
Well, dick hopping.
Oh, dick hopping, yeah. So, going back to the book, we talked about the movie. The movie fucking, I think it's good. But maybe just because I saw it when I was in high school and I was like, I want to see great films. And I watched it. Like, this is a great film. I must like this. Nate saw it as a advanced age
just
man.
Just a couple months ago.
Yeah, yeah. So he shit on it. Jimmy says it's somewhere in the middle.
I saw it a few years ago.
I mean, I watched it when I was 18 or something like that for the first time. In fact, I remember being in a class in high school where the teacher, that our icebreaker, was go around the room, say your name and your favorite movie, and this fucking guy in the classroom, not me, truthfully, I often like pretend it's me, pretend it's someone else, but it's really me in the stories, really was someone else. And he's like, oh, his name is like fucking Dan or something. And he's like, my favorite.
Dan?
What?
Tall Dan.
Hey, man, he might listen to this. He might want to learn how to read, that guy.
Dan can't read. Dan objectively can't
this
read.
Guy who went to high school with Big Dan, he was the only guy in school taller than me, but it wasn't even close. He was like 6'9". And
it was 6 inches, six foot nine of not being able to read.
Yeah, he was dumb as a fucking bag of doorknobs. And he's sitting in the classroom, sitting in this desk that's meant for a fucking middle
was
school
it,
student.
Was it really Big Dan?
It was Big Dan, yeah.
Holy shit.
Good call, man. And
Big Dan
was like
the dumbest person. He wasn't even in our grade. He was like 2 years older than us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was in my elective. I mean, I remember being a freshman. They're like, whoa, you're a big kid. You're going to be like the next Big Dan. I was like, who's that? Like, that big giant guy. I was like, really? You think so? I'm like, but you don't want to be as stupid as him. Oh, no, I don't. I don't. I don't. No. No, I don't want to do that, sir. I'm like, yeah, if he breathes on you, your IQ goes down. That's literally
these
what I was
were insults
told.
In
this
our nerd high school.
My first week of high school. But anyway, Big Dan the Dard. It's going around, like, yeah, I'm Dan.
I like chocolate milk and all other kinds of milk.
Whatever hose I could turn on, I drink out of. But he says, my favorite movie is A Clockwork Orange. And
it's also my favorite fruit.
It's my favorite time.
I have a special watch.
So he says that, and he's like not the first guy. He's like in the middle. So after people are like, I am Brenda, and my favorite movie is Bridget Jones' Diary. Like, we were fucking high school students 15 years ago or more. And, God, closer to 20. Jesus Christ.
It was 15.
And they're like, my favorite movie is Jumanji. And people are just saying lame-ass shit. And then he says, A Clockwork Orange. And the teacher, this woman who was like a fucking, must have had a master's degree in women's studies. And she goes, that movie almost made me hate Singing in the Rain. It almost ruins Singing in the Rain for me. Which is not in the book, but in the film, during the house invasion gang rape scene, she's like, woman's screaming, and the husband has like a fucking bowl taped into his mouth, and they got, Alex
like,
is singing.
Beat them almost to death.
And he raped the wife to death to Singing in the Rain. And she, that ruins
I
Singing
forgot
in the
about
Rain for me.
That part of it, yeah.
But what was really clever is they used that.
Big Dan just liked the colors.
I like orange. It's like red above yellow.
So many. It's the color of my milk when cereal happens.
Sometimes clocks move slow. So.
Especially this class.
I have to make.
He was an 11th grader in a 9th grade class. So yeah.
Yeah, his body spent all of its energy on growing. And did none of it on
his brain was brain. Still brain size for a toddler.
For a pygmy. Well, yeah, so what they did in the film, though, which was not in the movie, of course, Alex sings Singing in the Rain during the rape scene, and that comes back later in the movie. That's how the writer guy recognizes Alex. And then It's like that really weird scene where Alex is, he's like, oh, yeah, pit of the pain, the Gulliver. You know, like, he's like singing his, speaking gibberish bullshit, and he's like, do you want wine? And he's like, yeah, I'll have a glass. Have more! And the guy's like fucking keeling over, and the bodyguard is Darth Vader. It's the actor who is the body of Darth Vader in the movie. David Prowse. And he's just there, and he carries the guy in his wheelchair around. It's weird. But they wove that into the film, which is, I mean, I guess if this was like a podcast or we gave a flying fuck about film adaptation, that'd be really interesting. But since we're talking about books.
Everything's better with Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the movie is weird as shit. I'll give you that.
The movie's a fever dream.
The book's a fever dream.
The movie is weirder than the book.
Well, that's because you have to watch this. Anything that's you're watching
the,
that's
the
from the
is,
past
like,
about
actually,
the future
like,
is going to look
along
stupid.
With, like, the narration in the book. The movie is just like, this shit's happening, and I'm just going to follow along with whatever they say.
But the problem is that the movie is 45 years old, and it was meant
to
look at the future.
It definitely doesn't age well.
No.
For sure.
100%.
And also...
Almost no movies do.
That's true, because the way we make films has changed.
It was like in Alien, when they're like, we're in the distant future in intergalactic spaceships, we're all using fucking DOS computers with green text, like, hyperspace, enter this stuff, bleep, bleep, bleep. It's just, it doesn't work.
Well, that's for a lot of science fiction, right? Without, and he entered his tape into the tape deck.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we've got interdimensional travel, but we're still using 8 tracks.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Oh, he switched over to the second track.
He flipped the tape over and put it to side B.
Yeah. I think that's the sort of stupid bullshit that happens in sci-fi.
I'm sure in that's 70 years podcast. They'll think we're that's all true. Stupid for our sci-fi.
Right.
Like, oh, they're still using streaming when we're at getting it ported directly into your anal cavity.
Quantum teleportation video.
Look at them still shitting it into their hands and throwing it at each other. Not using their turnometer. Silly 21st century.
Just like Germans.
Look at them pissing into their faces as if it's fun. They don't have their own digital golden showers. There's an app for that, don't you know?
They had a president that did that.
That's right, according to that veritable news source, BuzzFeed. Jimmy, you brought this.
I did. I did, and I regret it fully.
I'm going to do it in a little shot glass. This is called Apex Predator. It is the
That's
third.
That's almost Alex.
It is by Off Color Brewing.
Brewing.
Oh, that looks terrible. That just looks bad. It looks like urine. What did I pour this into? Here's your little cuppy. This is a farmhouse ale.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that means the brewer fucked his cousin. So, I can't really give you a legit definition of what farmhouse means.
It means they didn't make it very well.
It means it's fucking funky. It's got... I mean, I haven't sipped this beer yet. I generally avoid this type of beer because it has a funky horse blanket kind of flavor.
Horse blanket.
Oh, that's a real thing. Horse blanket.
Let me know. Yeah.
And it's also a band. Horse blanket.
It should be.
They go, hey, we're opening up for Spirit Sherpa. We're a horse blanket. Like, that's what.
Vegan entrees are in the waiting room.
I just want to tell you a little, 5% of all ticket sales go to Help Nepal and
with
Red Hook.
We don't know.
So I find that farmhouse, they have like a, they're not sours. I really could not tell you specifically what's different about them versus like a variety of other beers that just fall into this end of the beer spectrum of funky, not normal tasting beers. That's the best I can do. Maybe you guys call me out.
I don't know, man. I trust you.
I can, it's a little bit sour.
A little bit, yeah.
There's like a peppery taste to this. There's a spicy taste to it, like a peppercorn or a,
I don't really get the peppercorn, but it is there, I assure you.
And this is not bad. It's not, I just don't like it. It's just not my style. What do you guys think?
I don't think I've ever had a farmhouse ale besides this one.
I don't know if I ever have. But it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's not offensively bad. Like, I've had
it's
beers where I'm like, this is...
IPA.
Well, that I disagree with you on, but... I mean, I've had beers where, like, this is disgusting. I won't even drink any more of it. The drained pores of the world. This is
it's
different.
Fine. Yeah. It's alright.
It just doesn't... This is not my style. I just don't dig them.
That's fair. They don't like you either.
That's fine, because they live in a goddamn farm. They're jealous of living in the city. Highfalutin Queens. So, one of the interesting features of the book, slash film, but the book first, of course, is the weird argo that the characters use, which is called NADSAT. It's this combination of, I guess, 1960s British youth speak and Russian
words.
Basic words,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, things like...
they just use Russian words as slang, but they're just straight-up Russian words.
Well, I can only remember a few off the top of my head. I remember Vidi Well, Devachka, A Weeping Young Devachka. Those are like the two big ones. But there's tons of other things throughout the book.
Horror show.
Horror show, of course. Yeah, that's right. Plus, there are some things in the NADSAT language that are not Russian, but the overwhelming majority are, which is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why Russian? Well, history nerds, why?
Okay, so the 60s was definitely during the Cold War.
Red Scare.
Where the two
did they have a Red Scare in England?
I'm sure they did. But, so during the 60s, this was when the two superpowers of the world were the United States and the Soviet Union. So, like, the two languages of the superpowers were English and Russian. And so what Anthony Burgess did is he sort of combined the two because, you know, that was important and stuff.
I guess it would be, like, what's, like, if you had to have these for these young, terrible people, what's the most subversive thing you could go with? It must be Russian.
It was also the two dominant ideologies of the
time. I mean, these people are not communists by any means. They're just fucking psychos.
You know, but it was a combination of the two dominant ideologies of sort of like capitalism and communism.
Were they always, do you think, like he's saying, like
battling each
there's
other?
There's the good English people and like evil people are Russians, or is it just, it seems kind of like shallow,
right,
to say the least.
Because ideology is not part of the plot of this book.
They're all crazy sociopath children. It's not necessarily that they're communists. It's nothing to do with that. They're just, maybe they talk this way because they know it pisses off adults.
Or
it
means
who
they're
hate
less
Russians.
They're less likely to be understood.
That too.
Because there's also rhyming slang they use.
Do they use in the book?
There's some rhyming slang, yeah. We could look. But there's things they say that are just kind of like rhymy, things that are kind of like associative. Well, there's also like weird rhymy stuff like eggy wag. When he wants an egg.
Yeah.
But
just for being a weirdo.
Well, that's exactly it, right? It's not that he's a child looking like that sounds babyish. I want an eggy wag.
Cutter, which means money, which derives from the Cockney rhyming slang of bread and butter.
It's like three slang levels removed.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I feel like I'm watching a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah, yeah.
With the rhyming slang?
It's entirely that. For us.
Or for anybody who's not from the hood of where the fuck that shit is spoken.
Do they still fucking speak that way?
I feel like they probably didn't even when Guy Ritchie made those movies.
Probably.
Madonna speaks like that now.
That was the worst.
Yeah, so the language is, I found it kind of cool. I liked it. Because when I read the book, I read it in paperback, and the last part of the book was the dictionary of those words, but I just didn't even realize because I was a fucking idiot. And I was like 19 or something when I first read this. And I just went through it, and I was like, I don't know what this word is. I'm just going to have to kind of figure it out from context. And then after like 20 pages or so of book, you kind of pick up enough that
it's kind of got its own language where you have to just kind of keep reading to figure out what they're talking about. And maybe the first few times you hear about it, it's like he's saying something fucking horrible, but you don't know what he's talking about until later on you realize, like, oh, he's talking about beating someone's face to pulp. Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Now I do. Yeah, that was...
I mean,
it does distract you from
that. I agree that you definitely sort of figure out what's going on, but I just thought it was still too much.
Too much what?
It's too much weird-ass language. You know, maybe because I don't speak Russian that, you know, most of the words were just very, very strange. And just, there was just so many of these words in every sentence. It just made it too, it just took a little bit too much effort to read. Or more like, you know, I wasn't that invested in the book, so I just kind of wanted to get through it. And so it was just too much investment of time and brain power just to figure out what was going on. So it kind of turned me off.
I liked it. I thought it was cool to be, like, thrust into that world without them explaining it to you. And he's certainly not alone in the type of writers who use this thing. Like, a lot of science fiction fantasy writers do this still. And I'm sure he didn't invent it either, but
a lot of them.
They're just like, yeah, and then the Nefshons happen. You know, what the fuck is a Nefshon?
Like, just kind of go with it and like, all right, I'll figure out this is later.
Yeah. I mean, Nefshon is a word from a book I read recently.
I thought you made that word up right now.
Oh, no, that's from...
Nefshon?
Nefshon. Nefshon. It's from Barsk, The Elephant Graveyard, by author I can't remember his name of. But it was a really good book.
All of those words are fake.
Yeah, it was a really good book. I wish I could remember the author's name because I enjoyed it a lot. But, yeah, Nefshons was the thing. Like, oh, and I have to gather his Nefshons. Like, what does that mean? My wife doesn't gather my Nefshons anymore. And then you, like, oh, Nefshons.
Let's use both hands.
Well, I have a lot of Nefshons to gather. All right, Jimmy, you brought this. It is...
Did I?
Real local. Queens, New York. Single cut, the Beer Smiths. This is their beer called Heavy Boots of Lead Imperial Stout.
Like,
so this is, here's your story. Heavy Boots of Lead Imperial Stout, an ale, 11% alcohol, 55 IBUs. That's pretty hoppy for an Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Brewed and bottled in Astoria, New York. Represent.
That's where I live.
Yep.
Now.
Bombs live there. So there's a whole bunch of like smug bullshit about how we don't cut corners.
I go chat shit to them next time I see them.
Have you ever been to the brewery?
I haven't. I've heard a lot about it. I heard it's pretty cool.
I mean, it's a place to drink beers. Can't be that bad.
Don't like the smell.
I mean, that is roasty. Roasty deliciousness. I love this.
I can tell that if someone was into this, it'd be great. This is the opposite of everything I ever wanted.
Might you want that one that tastes like farmhouse donkey cock?
I mean, I enjoy the farm a little bit more than I love anything coffee flavored.
Just, yeah, you know why Jimmy's into the farm? You know what lives on farms, right? Cock.
That's true. I've got an affinity for it.
I think this is... there is no coffee in this beer, but you get a coffee chocolate kind of flavor.
I mean, I think it is good for what it is. It's not my scene, but I respect it.
Yeah. I'm glad you respect it, because I don't respect things I don't like. So
I don't respect any IPAs.
It's a good beer. I feel like one of these would be enough for the evening.
Yeah.
Especially a large bottle like that one.
It's a big bottle.
I've had this before. I think they changed the label recently, because I definitely had this in.
It's got a sweet robot on it.
Okay, so here's the question. Should you read this book?
Well, I will answer your question with another question. When? How old? Right? If you're an adult, the reaction to this is very different than if you're a teenager. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I didn't read it until really just a month ago, but when we were going to do the podcast. And I feel like this is one of the books that I didn't know exactly what happened in it, but I knew it was weird, and so I purposefully didn't read it, because I had this feeling that I'm just not ready for that book. I'm just not, you know, it is just going to be weird. And then I read it, and I was right. Even it was still fucking weird. It's just so
awful.
It's just like the plot is so awful. And even though I guess sort of the larger meaning of it is definitely like deeper than that, it's still just so terrible. I wouldn't recommend this to young people. Definitely not.
I think young people associate with Alex for a variety of reasons. Not because they're all budding sociopaths, but because the feeling of being an outsider is so common to a teenager, even if they're really not. It's just, it's a way to feel special or a way to feel distinct. Young people want to feel or want to associate with the outsider. And Alex is the ultimate outsider. And I think a lot of young people associate with this. Then on top of it, especially nowadays, this book is iconic for being Trey, for being violent and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Young people are attracted to that sort of thing. I think this book will continue to attract young readers. I don't see that diminishing. You know what? Like we said about other things in the past, if it gets young people to read a book, I can't really argue with that.
Well, that is true.
I think if you're young and you want to read it, then go for it. I don't think it should be a book you have to read in school.
Well, sure.
I'm not sure it provides anything beyond being an interesting read.
Well, I think I'd make the argument for if I were a high school student, there'd be actual shit to say here, because you could talk about the state or the government or science trying to control people. Like, there is actually debate there.
Could see that. I don't believe in, like, oh, you know, they can't handle it. Like, certainly. I feel like maybe there are better choices, but if it was assigned, I wouldn't be like, you can't read this, son. You're not ready for it.
No.
I think it's okay. I mean, there are worse things, by far.
Yeah, you could be reading Danielle Steele novels.
Yeah.
Just total dog shit. It's a famous book. It's I don't know what, dirty isn't the right word. It's just...
It's not dirty. No.
Over the top. I don't know what you'd say. Because there's fucking rape and murder and shit. It's not...
Kids know what that is in high school.
That's true. If you watch
it's not, they're not going to be like, oh my god, what is that?
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, this is relatively tame. Like,
what, that guy Matt Loward, that woman? Oh no.
How did he do that to that lady? He didn't have a button in his office.
Oh man, remember that? That was like, what, 6 months ago now?
I think it was like 6 years.
Yeah, I think they won't be shocked by the content, but I hate to say it, for young male readers, violence and shit like that, kind of an entertaining quality in a book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you in that if it gets kids interested in reading books, then there's no downside. They're not going to read this book and be like, shit, I'm going to do that. Like, no one's going to do that. That's crazy.
If you needed to read a book to know that you wanted
what
to murder
being
people,
a sociopath is, and
you probably read Catcher in the Rye.
That's true.
They're yeah. probably also a shitty sociopath.
You're just going to kill one member of the Beatles. Watch out, Ringo. I don't think there's anything wrong with the book. When we get into like what should you read as a young person kind of conversation, there's no one answer. I mean, as you just said, Jimmy, like anything that gets young people to read is pretty cool.
I think this is a better choice than some of the shit we were required to read.
Oh, I would rather this. I'd rather read this 10 times than go read "Go Tell It on the Mountain," or James Baldwin.
I vaguely remember that title.
Oh, it was like getting punched in the eyes. It was terrible.
I don't remember that.
Or versus Red Badge of Courage.
Ugh. Is it Steinbeck?
No, that's Stephen Crane.
Oh, right.
Or versus...
There's plenty of shit that they make kids read. For the sake of what? I don't know.
I mean, I actually liked A Tale of Two Cities when I read it as an adult, but in high school, that sucked so much. I'd rather read... If I was like 15, I'm like, here you go. You want to read A Tale of Two Cities? This fucking long
you have to you have to pick
shit.
Books that kids will be interested in reading. You can't just force the classics on them when they haven't read jack shit.
Yeah, you have to kind of pander a little bit.
You got to pander a little bit, and that's okay. You don't get interested in fucking foreign film by starting off with the fucking most interesting things you've ever seen. You start off with baseline stuff. That's true of everything. Music. You don't jump right to Stravinsky and John Glass. You start off with like human stuff, and they're like, okay. This is cool. Let's see how weird we can get. You don't start off at weird.
It's true. It's a good point. Though this is kind of a little along the weird spectrum.
It's on the weird spectrum. I mean, it's weird. It's a little dated.
Sure.
But, you know, books get dated quickly.
And finding a book that's not dated.
The Bible. It's timeless.
It's always been old. I think also for young people, the idea of the slang that's exclusionary, that if you don't really understand the slang, you can't understand the conversation, I think that's appealing.
I mean, kids have slang nowadays, and they have new words every 2 months, and I don't even understand what the fuck anyone's talking about.
No, I don't either. I mean, they're just finger-banging all these things on the interwebs.
They probably don't even say finger-banging anymore.
They don't say finger-banging, huh?
There's so many other things they do.
Well, hey, so of our anti-heroic beers, what's our verdict here? What do you think, Gus? What would you go for again in the future?
Well, I would definitely drink this anti-hero or Flesh and Blood anytime. They're definitely drinkable. And the Blue Point Citrus Plunge, that was also very good.
Those IPAs were solid. I don't like farmhouse IPAs, but I thought this one wasn't offensive to me. Which, that seems
it's
really backhanded. I just don't like that style.
I liked that one. It was fine. It was pretty good. Of these ones, because the rest were IPAs, yes.
What about the single cut?
The single cut, I didn't like either, but I think for what it was good. It's just that I don't like these, like, coffee-flavored chocolate stout things. That's not my thing at all, but for what it was good. And if it's your thing, then you'll love it, but I did not.
Yeah, I like the big stouts, and it's true. Once you have those, you never go back. But they're really intense and heavy, and you can't have a lot of them. So I guess it all depends on what you want to do. Like, if you're in for a whole night of the old ultraviolence, you need something that you can maintain for the evening.
You know, like, taste mm-hmm. the rainbow.
I think these are all pretty solid beers. I think we did really well tonight, guys, because we're fucking drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely well on that front.
And if you have been drinking along with us at home, you are too. So in the meantime, why don't you tweet us at DrunkGuysBC or send us an email at
DrunkGuysBookClub@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at
DrunkGuysBookClub.com.
Yep. And we'll see you next week when we are going to have our inaugural Christmas episode where we read Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. well, see you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.